Saturday morning. Hair is a mess, and so is our house. See, last night was Friday night, which means that it was me, my wife, and the three that outnumber us. A tribe has gathered. The movie is chosen. Pizza is delivered. Lights are lowered. Sugar is consumed, and time is spent together. Then it's Saturday. Everyone sleeps in, but only in my dreams. Because now it's time. It's time for something important. Time for something urgent. It's time for pancakes and syrup. And lots of syrup. Syrup that will, hours later, still be present on the arms and the cheeks and in the hair of my three-year-old. But that's all right. Because all of this simply points to the fact that all is right. What is it for you? Bills are paid, car that's clean, music is blasting, drowning out Charlie Sheen. Sorry, that was bad. The sky is bright, winter has gone. The earth is still, peace prevails, we're all on the same team, and everyone agrees. The 70-year weather forecast is sunny with a high of 75 and a low of 74. All is right. The inbox is empty. Answers are found, problems are solved, and there's still time for a late-night movie. Cats are turned into dogs. But not the small kind. Attitudes are calm, loved ones are healthy. Nothing is lacking. All is right. Rewind to that day, 2,000 years. All is right. See, for them, it was the sight of hope. Hope that was sketched by a prophet who said, look, your king is on his way. He is poised and ready, and he is coming to you. So the people got ready. Cloaks were spread. Palm branches were laid, eyes wide open, because this was a day of victory, a moment of truth, because finally it was time for those Roman oppressors to pay. And that was reason to party. The deliverer has come. Freedom is near. It was a good day. And so the chant began. The song was sung. Hosanna! In Hebrew, Hoshayana, save us. It's what the kid who's just been pushed off the diving board and has no idea how to swim says as he comes up out of the water gasping for air. Hoshaya, nah! And there he is, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Dad to the rescue! So, it was fitting to shout these words. Because the rescuer is here, the one whom the prophets said will bring good news to the poor, and who, without reservation, without hesitation, will open the door and heal those whose hearts have been crushed. Yes, he brings it all. Liberty to those who've been oppressed and silenced. Freedom to those who've been bound. And so, we don't weep, we don't cry, we shout because today it's announced that God will have his say and all is right. Thank you. It's felt on every level. Our universe, our planet, the skies, the air, our cities, our neighborhoods, our homes, and our families. It's the same creation that God looked out at and said,
"This is good."
And yet, sometimes, it isn't. See, when life is right, we get just a taste of how it all started.
Beauty, shalom, peace, all children safe, every touch of humanity expressing encouragement, affection, delight.
Marriages are strong, nations are at peace, homes are united.
And at recess, every kid is picked for a team.
And no one is left alone. That is the snapshot of God's original intent.
But then comes the chaos, disruption at its best.
God's order now thrown into disorder, major chords turned into minors. Shalom is interrupted, and the words of the day are
jealousy, anger, prejudice, hatred.
Felt on every level of your life and mine.
All is lost.
For my neighbor, it was his job.
It was her love.
It was their marriage.
My friend at school.
It was her innocence.
That's why she's a cutter.
It is those close to you and those far from you.
Your family, your friends.
And sometimes, even you.
A mother who lost a child.
A father who lost a son. It wasn't just the party that was prophesied. For it says,
he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities.
And so, he goes from all is right,
palm branches and celebration,
to thorns and a cross. And to those closest to him, in that moment, everything they had put their hope in now seemed lost.
But how?
What?
Why?
This is us when all seems lost. You know what, there is nothing better than being in a great book, right in the middle of it even, or towards the end, or maybe in the midst of a great movie. And suddenly something happens that takes that story or that movie a completely different direction beyond anything you would have ever imagined. Aren't those great moments? Perhaps it's that moment when it's that person in the story that you thought was good and innocent, and suddenly you find out just the opposite. Or perhaps it's that moment, like at the end of one of my favorite films, which this is going to actually say a lot about me. It's the movie Planet of the Apes. Sorry. But that moment when Charlton Heston realizes that he's never, ever, ever going to make it back home because he is already on planet Earth. That's quite a moment. See, what makes these twists, I think, so riveting is that they're almost always impossible to predict. If there is one thing that I think sits at the core of this weekend, of this celebration, it's exactly that. Unpredictability. I mean, think about it. The crowd in Jerusalem, they are waiting and celebrating the arrival of their king, of their deliverer. They're laying down their cloaks, their palm branches, and they're shouting Hosanna because their deliverer is there. Yet, instead of arriving as a war-raging king on the back of a horse, this king shows up riding on a symbol of peace, a donkey. Who would have seen that coming? Or how about just days later when Jesus undeservedly finds himself hanging on the cross of death between two thieves? And in the midst of it all, he looks down at those who have just brutally tortured him and says, what? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Unpredictable. And see, that's part of the reason I think that these events resonate so deeply in the human heart, because that is our lives, isn't it? Unpredictable. Have you ever had something happen in your life that was unpredictable? Maybe today. Happens all the time. Whether it's that tragic phone call that comes in the middle of the night, or that negative report that comes from the doctor that just completely rocks your world. Some of you, that's you. Or perhaps it's that the breaking of that relationship that you would have never imagined or never predicted would have ended the way that it did. That's our lives. Our lives are filled with unpredictable moments, and so we can relate. But perhaps there's an even greater reason that God's story resonates so deeply within us the way it does, that has to do with the fact that this story is not just a story about God or about Jesus and a bunch of people who lived a long time ago, but it's also a story about us today, right now. And it's a story about how in the midst of those unpredictable moments that our lives intersect with, in those moments of pain, confusion, that God also shows up in unpredictable ways in your life and in mine. And that's exactly what we celebrate today in the resurrection. Right? That's the twist. That's that unexpected and unpredictable moment. I mean, look, the thing that set those early Christians on fire and that gave them the fuel that kept this movement of Jesus going and going and going for a couple thousand years now was not just the fact that Jesus was crucified, because that happened all the time. People were crucified. No. What really revolutionized their lives and the lives of billions and billions and billions of people since then was his followers' insistence that they had experienced him after his death. Which meant so much more than just, well, now we're going to be happy because Jesus is alive and we can feel better. Now we can go have our buffet. Right? Or we feel better and Jesus is no longer dead. No, of course it meant that, but it meant so much more. I mean, for example, it meant, okay, that he had not given up on this world, because this world matters. Yes, this world matters, the one that we call home, the one whose oxygen is giving you life at this very moment. It matters. And it meant that all of the things in this world that are not right, and we could make the list, right? I mean, all the things like greed and violence and death and decay and suffering and pain do not belong and ultimately cannot stay. And even now, God is at work in this earth, and he is redeeming, he is restoring, he is renewing, and he is giving us a taste of what's to come. Because it matters. You matter. Turn to the person next to you right now and say, you matter. Even if you don't like them, tell them, you matter. Not only that, but what we do with our lives matters. Every act of goodness and compassion, every kind word, every work of art that celebrates what's true and good, every fair and honest act of business, all of it has its place and will go on in God's good world. It all counts. Which means that in the end, it is not death that will win, I will say it again, that in the end, it is not death that wins. And neither will it be things like grief or loss, injustice, tragedy, pain. It also means that at the end of the day, it's not darkness or despair that we see in front of us as our only options. No, 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 no. Instead, we have something greater. We have hope. Hope. Say it. Hope. Say it again. Hope. It's a small word. But behind that word is something really huge. Hope that not only will God have the first word in the story, but that God will also have the last word. And that even now, when we experience those moments, when it seems like heaven and earth sort of collide in our lives, those beautiful moments that are sometimes rare, but so beautiful, those moments serve as reminders that God's project is going forward, that God's project is continuing, and it's love and not hate that will have the last word in the universe. And that in the last, and in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I love this, listen to this, that the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord. That is a picture of shalom, of a resurrected earth and a resurrected people. A world where if the prophet was writing this, let's say maybe in the year 2011, he would describe it as a place where perhaps all marriages would be healthy. All children would be safe. Those who have too much would give to those who have too little. Israeli and Palestinian children would play together on the West Bank, and their parents would build homes for one another. A world where doors would have no locks, where disagreements would be settled with civility and grace, where cars would have no alarms, schools would no longer need police or security, no father would ever again say, "I'm too busy," to a disappointed child. No one would be lonely or afraid. People of different races would stand together and join hands, and they would honor and be enriched by their difference and be united in their common humanity. That is the vision, the picture of what the writers in the scriptures paint for us of how things are supposed to be and the way things one day will be. That's what the resurrection points us towards. And that's what that hunger on the inside of every one of us points us towards. That's what all creation points us towards. Because Romans 8 says, with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So, the question that I know some of you have right now, what does that have to do with us today? Well, I'm glad you asked. The answer is everything. Everything. Here's why. The resurrection isn't just about what did happen at some point in history. The resurrection is not just about what will happen one day in the future. The resurrection is also about what's happening even now. It's about you and me as the people of God joining together in His renewal, in His restoration of all things. It's about being a part of fulfilling the prayer of Jesus that said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what all of this has to do with today. And so Jesus invites us to trust the resurrection, to trust that God is full of unconditional love for you and you and you and you and you and everyone else I didn't point to. That's what it has to do with us today. That God is full of unconditional love for you, for me, for all of humanity, and that he still looks at his creation and still says those words, "This is good." It's about trusting that as you and I bring our brokenness and our sin to the table, that God is willing. He's not just willing, but he is so, so ready to lavishly pour out his forgiveness and his mercy and grace. That's not sad news. That's good news. Here's the amazing part. Because the resurrection doesn't just simply leave us as passive, helpless spectators, we find ourselves lifted up. We find ourselves set on our feet, and we find ourselves given new breath in our lungs and commissioned by God to go and make new creation happen all around us. Are you doing that? I want to close by reading the words of the Apostle Paul, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's kind of long, so if you have ADD, we'll put the words on the screen. It's from the Message paraphrase. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. Let me change that a little bit and say that about your Easter celebration. If all you get out of Christ is a little inspiration that will take you to the next big church event, Christmas, perhaps Easter again next year, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. There is a nice symmetry in this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. Christ is first, then those with him at his coming. The grand consummation when, after crushing the opposition, he hands over his kingdom to God the Father. Listen, he won't let up until the last enemy is down, and the very last enemy is death. As the psalmist said, he laid them low, one and all. He walked all over them. When Scripture says he walked all over them, it's obvious he couldn't at the same time be walked on. And let's lift our voices and read this last part together. Are you ready? When everything and everyone is finally under God's rule, the Son will step down, taking his place with everyone else, showing that God's rule is absolutely comprehensive, a perfect ending. That is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me? So the story goes that when they arrived at the tomb, it was empty, except for the cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. And so one of the questions I want to leave you with is this: what do you need to leave behind in that empty tomb? Maybe there's something you've come in here with this afternoon that you need to walk out of here free of. Or maybe another way to ask that is, what is it in your life that you need God to resurrect? What is it you need God to make new? Some, you've come with pain in your life. Pain that has caused you to walk away from God at a time when you need to walk closest to him. For others, it's hurt. For others, it's failure, it's sin. Maybe what you need God to make new in your life is your marriage, your parenting. Would you take a second just right now and would you think about that? What do I need God to make new in my life today? Perhaps for some, it's what do I need to leave behind in that empty tomb? Nothing is too great. Nothing is too beyond what God is willing to help you with in your life. His love is here. His love is present, and he is already at work in your life, and you don't even know it. See, here's the thing about his love. There is nothing you can do to earn his love. You can never get to a place where you somehow deserve it, and so God will say, okay, well, finally you can have it. No. It is yours simply by opening your heart to what God has already done for you. And so would you do that today? God, together as your people, as your sons, as your daughters, we open our hearts to you tonight. God, may this be so much more than just another church service that we attended. May this be so much more than just another Easter. But God, may you truly come to life in us. And may we embrace your newness. May we embrace your love. May we embrace your forgiveness and your grace. May we trust the resurrection.